Tell you real quick, last time I was up here, it was my life of excess is what I shared with you, and today is my life of excess part two. Got creative with the name there. Last time I came up here, Reggie was, before we got going, was asked me about my Bible, and she said, why you got your Bible? And I said, well, I'm going to speak at church. I think it'd be appropriate that I had it. And she was like, well, you need to muscle it up or something so it looks like it's not brand new. So I use electronic Bible now. Saves the embarrassment. Plus, I love that you can put it alphabetical because I'm not quite where I need to be yet, but I'm going to get there. August 9th, last year, is when Pastor Dave asked me to share with the congregation in the morning about my life and what had been going on. And I told you about my life of excess, and I made a bunch of promises. I kept that sheet, and I went through those promises that I made to you and God and my family and my friends. And I want to go back through that list and kind of show you what God's done in my life. He's done some really cool things. He's brought me to some really neat people. But first, anytime I get an opportunity to be in front of you guys, I feel like I just have to tell you how integral this church was in bringing me where I am today. First, Pastor Dave, for just giving me an opportunity to share a craft that I think I would like to do in the long term of life from now. And I think I'd like to speak, and he gives me opportunity to do that, and I appreciate that. The church here, the body, I hope that I tell you this every time, but you guys were so inviting and welcoming to a guy that didn't deserve it. I don't think I was really even looking for it. I think I was trying to make my wife happy on some level for that instant. And so I started coming to church, and you guys just loved on me like I belonged here. And that really meant a lot. And that's a big deal about a church. I mean, that's something to be proud of and excited for and know that, you know, God's doing an amazing thing just in you saying hello to someone. Is Pastor Owen's not here again? Busted twice. This is he is here. Oh, you got busted this morning. Sorry, but I'm going to call out some people, and I'm probably going to embarrass them, but I don't really care. You guys know that by now. But Pastor Owens and his wife, I remember one of the first times I was here, and this is before I'd made any kind of commitment. I turned around and shook his hand, and he said hello, and the next week he knew my name, and I thought that was really, really cool for some reason, you know, that someone would take the time to actually hear that in that exchange. Then I found out he was a pastor, and for some reason it just impressed me even more, because I think it's because I knew how I felt in my heart about where I was. It just impressed me even, and that one little thing, just mentioning someone's name back to him, had such an impact to me. Mr. and Mrs. Bill. Mr. Bill used to invite me to men's breakfast on Saturdays, and I would be sitting there with my pyramid of empty beer cans. He'd say, we got men's breakfast tomorrow, Zorn. Love to see you there. I'd be like, okay, I'll be there. Then I think I'd probably look at my buddies and be like, I'm not going until like 8. This is not happening. But he'd invite me every time. And then the time that I came, you know, he'd come over, he spoke to me, he said hello. And it just meant a lot to me, and it was just important that he didn't care what atmosphere I was in at that moment. He cared that I was in his church, and he wanted me to feel even more involved and asked me to go one step further. Where's Mrs. Bill, Mr. Bill? I feel like I need to ask you your name after all this time. Shirley, that's a beautiful name, Mrs. Bill. That is awesome. I hope I don't offend you, but you're probably going to be Mrs. Bill. But now I know, so just in case. So. Okay. April Toll's mom, I think it is. I don't know. She sits back here in this corner over here, I think. And she come up to me one day and said, I'm praying for you. I just smiled and said thank you. But in my mind, I was like, why is she praying for me? How does she even know I need prayer? You know, what is this? But now I know that that's the Holy Spirit that told her that I needed prayer. And when you're a person of God, he points people out to you and he says, go make contact with that person because it's going to matter. You're going to have an impact in that little bitty small thing. And again, I didn't realize it then, but the day I spoke up here and she made a beeline to me and hugged me right there in that aisle, I'll never forget it. It meant the world to me right then. And I knew that's a person that I'd like to strive to be like. So thank you. And that's representative of this whole church. This whole church makes me feel like that. My wife said to make sure and thank everybody for the support and in these ministries that we're doing. And I said, do I normally not do that? And she said, no, you do it, but I just got to stay on you. I was like, okay, well, I'll take care of it. But you guys really do mean a lot to our family. And it's something that I just urge you to just keep doing what you're doing. Okay, so back then I had these acceptance speeches, these great athletic acceptance speeches that went through my head. And I told you I wasn't athletic enough for any of that to even matter. Now what God does with me is he puts messages and sermons into my head. I've got all kinds of stuff that he just keeps planting in there. My three fathers, which I got to share with my baseball boys. Thank you, baseball boys, for being here, by the way. These are the guys I've been telling you about that I thought at first I was arrogant enough to think I was put into their lives because they would need me so bad. But then I realized that them and their families were actually put into my life to help me grow as an individual and as a person. So thank you for being here. But I shared with them my three fathers sermon, Securing My Christianity. This is the last time you'll probably see an outfit like this. I wear wild, crazy clothes. I've always said it's because I'm secure in my masculinity. That's just who I am. I like crazy, wild stuff. Why can't I get secure in my Christianity is what this sermon that I have down about. I it's a question that I asked myself, and God started feeding me stuff to preach on about it. God don't care is another one. You'll hear a tiny bit about that here. His awesomeness. He also starts waking me up in the middle of the night with ideas for outreach. AMP is Amplifying Millennials Project. This is a deal that I'm sick in bed, and God hits me with it, and I go in, sprint into the kitchen. I don't think I was in my underwear. I think I had on shorts or something, but and I looked at Kimberly and Addie, and I said, man, I've got it. I know what we're supposed to be doing. After a year and a half of waiting and praying and asking, hey, what do you want us to do? I said, I got it. And they both looked at me when I told them, we're supposed to go over to RSU and try to get this new worship service started in the evening so that they can have access to another place to worship God. They both looked at me and said, man, that's it, you're right. I said, when do you want to do it? I said, a week and a half. They said, there's no way. And I said, man, let me tell you something. And I was really talking to Kimberly because she's known me too long probably. But I said, I had people tell me I wouldn't play high school baseball, and I played high school baseball. I had people tell me I wouldn't play college baseball, and I played college baseball. I had people tell me that I wouldn't start my own business, and I started my own business. So I don't appreciate you telling me that I won't be able to get this done. But this is something God put out there. And for you to say that God can't get it done, I take offense to that. And they both looked at me wholehearted, full on, and said, you're right, let's get it done. So that's one of the things that we're working on right now. It's starting tonight. We've been pounding the pavement. I went across the street with Brian and Sarah. They're a huge help. It'd be an easy thing to think that someone's trying to overtake your, that's not it. Brian and Sarah were just jumped on and took off running with us. And I think they're over there working now so that I could do this. So it's just been an awesome deal. We're hoping it'll help drive those Tuesdays and Thursday night small groups, but we're super, super excited about it and are really going to need your support and backing on it. Some of the promises I made, I'm going to go through here. No judgment. I said that I was going to love all in excess. Luke 6:32, I hope you guys remember this is probably going to be one of my favorite scriptures of all time. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. You know, if you guys didn't love me, where would I be? You know, it would have been easy to turn my back on stuff if Mr. and Mrs. Bill didn't say hello to me and Mr. Bill didn't invite me to breakfast, if Mr. Wareheim didn't take me to a golf tournament and spend some time with one of the coolest guys I've ever met in my life, if Pastor Dave didn't constantly just speak to me, knowing what I was about at the time, but it didn't matter. So we got to love everybody, and I'm going to do it now. I still struggle a little bit, but the thing that's really cool is God gives me this new level of tolerance, compassion, and a recognition of someone else's need, and the ability to act on it. That's the thing, is I've recognized before, but then just, someone else would do that. There's better people out there than me to handle that. No selfishness. I said I was going to do an excess for others. I don't want to make this at all sound like it's bragging, because it's not on me or my family. It's bragging 100% on what God has done. God has led us to start small group for college students at our home. We invite them over. We feed them a decent dinner. We sit and we talk about God. Most of the time they lead it. When they run out of stuff, I go, oh, I'll speak. But you already know that anyway. So, but Wednesday mornings, God led me to, with Andy Wareheim and Doug Condor, we started a small group for men. Our missions trip, you guys already know about. My baseball team, you know, that was one of those things that for a moment there, I was thinking, man, I don't have time for this. And then God hit me and said, oh, yeah, you do. Oh, yeah, you do. And again, me thinking, oh, yeah, you're right, they need me. No, I needed them. And every time I'm with those guys, I try to give them the best coach that I can, but now I try even harder to give them the best man that I can. I truly try to lead those guys by example, and God helps me with it on a daily basis. You can't tell them about any of my getting kicked out stories. That'll be counterproductive, all right? You either, Heimdog. Heimdog's Andy Wareheim, in case y'all didn't know that, by the way. Kimberly and I are going to... this fall get certified in Marriage on the Rock, a deal that Jimmy Evans puts on. I think we've either already kind of mentioned it to Pastor Dave, but if not, now's the best time. In February, there's an XO conference that we attended last year that we want to be able to pipe in here. It's a live deal. It's awesome. It's for strong marriages. It's for new marriages. It's for rough marriages. It's for all kinds of marriages, and we want to be able to pipe that thing in and draw a crowd from all over Claremore and this community so that they can learn what we've learned and grow together as a family and grow together as a marriage. Really cool deal. You know, people are asking Kimberly and I for advice on marriage. You know, that's just bizarre to me. People that know me sitting here would be like, what? No, wrong guy, you know, but they are. And I want to tell you this story that kind of sums everything up, and one of the reasons why I think I have some success. I have this saying that I can make everybody feel better about themselves because I was one of the worst individuals you'll ever meet. There was a story that I was telling a friend of ours about when Kimberly was, this was a long time ago, and I said, you know, Kimberly had a gallbladder problem and needed to go to the hospital. Addie was about 4 or 5, and she needed to go to the hospital, and I was too selfish to take her. This is an awful thing to say, but I wouldn't do it. Take yourself. And our friend was just looking at me like, God, you disgusting pig. Well, then Kimberly goes, Jeff, that'd be an awesome story, but it's not even close to the truth. I was passing a kidney stone, and Addie was 3 weeks old, or 6 weeks old. That lady looked at me and said, oh, my wife's not that, or my husband's not that bad. See, I can make you feel better, can't I? Here's the deal. Here's the deal that was awesome about all of it. Is I was able to look that person in the eye and say, my wife has given me 100% and total forgiveness for thousands of episodes that I've done stuff like that. You'll be able to forgive your husband too. God gave that opportunity. God was using that bad for good in the long term of things, wasn't he? Okay, so no new Christian. I was going to study God's word in excess. Christian music, that's all I listen to anymore. I don't listen to the other stuff, and that's just because I can't handle it. That's what I want to do is surround myself with God as much as I can. If I'm not listening to Christian music, I'm listening to sermons or messages that people give. I listen to a talk show. I wish I'd have brought a slide to put that up because it's a Sirius XM 131. It's a show called New Life Live with Steve Arterburn from noon to 1. It's a call-in show about real-life struggles. People call in and say what their issues are, and you start realizing you're not alone in it. You start realizing that there's other people that have the same. You start realizing that there's people that were in higher, you know, the hierarchy. They're supposed to be better than you and more devout and so on and so forth, and they still have the same struggles that you have. And when you learn that what pushes you towards your vices, you learn how to heal, forgive, and then trust God to take those for you and help you deal with them. I do devotionals in the morning. But the thing that I learned after some time was that wasn't enough. You know, I promised that I would study God's Word. Hearing God's Word isn't studying God's Word. You got to read the Bible. You have to read the Bible. And all of a sudden, you know, you start getting this new clarity on things in the Bible. I can't stand it. Well, I used to couldn't stand it when Pastor Day, I was talking to Pastor Owens about this, when Pastor Day would say, hey, you know that part in the Bible? No, I don't know that. That's why you're here. You're supposed to be feeding. I don't know that story. Why would I know that? You know? Well, now I love it whenever he starts with that, and I can hit Kimberly in the ribs and be like, dude, I know what's going to happen right here. I got this. So it's just cool, you know? And I was one of those guys that when I wasn't wanting to live for Christ, I said there was all this gray area in the Bible. Well, I'm reading it now. It's black and white. You got one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. And we've got to know that. That's black and white. And I know that now. A brand new clarity. But I will say this. Before you break it open, the thing that I've learned is you've got to ask for that clarity and that knowledge, and it changes everything. It comes to you in a hurry. No justifying bad behaviors. I'm going to pray in excess. I had told you about my 10 little prayers where if I, you know, cursing was a big deal for me. You know, I'd get those words out of my head. I don't want them, you know. The obvious stuff is gone. You know, I haven't had a drink since March 11th of 2015. I don't crave it. I don't want it. I have zero interest in it. Curse words. I don't know the last time that I've said. They don't come into my head every once in a while, but I start praying about it. But I still have these inner battles, and I want to tell you about a couple of them. One of the deals I listened to was a Joel Osteen sermon one day, and he was talking about praying for your enemies and praying for, you know, people that have wronged you and stuff. He was actually a deal about when you hear news that seems bad or whatever, find something that you can praise God for to help you not focus on that and to not let it bother you as much. So on the exact same day, and I'm not making this up to make this seem better, but on the exact same day, my wife called me and said that she talked to the accountant and we had $12,000 debt that we were going to owe on taxes. So I decided I'm going to test Joel Osteen and God here. I'll try it out. So I just ducked my head right there where I was, and I said, God, I'm thankful my baby girls are healthy. I'm thankful that my wife has forgiven me. I'm thankful that we're moving down the road and doing the things that we're supposed to do for you. This is just money, and it doesn't bother me a bit. I thank you for all the things that you've done for me. The next day, Kimberly calls me, and she says, hey, I called the accountant, and I just asked him. I said, man, can you change the basis on which you do that accounting? There's a cash basis and accrual. I don't know what any of that is. That's why I got him. And he said, yeah, I can do that, but it's there. She said, just try it and see. $4,200 we owe now. That's a big difference, isn't it? That's God. That's God working. That's the kind of stuff that you just hear other people tell you about. Well, I'm just a normal old Jeff up here telling you, and it happened. I got a customer that owed me $7,500. He promised me for weeks and weeks before our missions trip that he would take care of this debt for me because he knew how important this $7,500 was for our missions trip / vacation right after. Told me every day, I got this, it's going to happen, I got it, it doesn't happen. I was out and I was bashing. I wanted people to know what I felt about this situation. And I walked in Kimberly's office one day. She was wanting to hire our old North Tulsa Mafia and stuff. She's not as holy as I am, but she's working on it. She was wanting rocks thrown through his windows. I don't even need to go into all that. Her heart's getting better. Just keep praying for her. But I walked into her office there in our house, and I looked in there, and I said, Kimberly, we're doing this wrong. I said, we've got to start praying for her. He had an incident with his brother where he'd had some struggles and stuff, and I don't know if it was even real. I didn't care. I started praying for that brother. I started praying for his family. I started praying for peace for his family. And I know Kimberly did too. Right before we were leaving for our trip, I had a guy call me. He says, that golf simulator that you talked to me about 2 years ago, are you still selling that? I said, man, I haven't even pulled that thing out, but I'd sell it. He says, well, I want it. I built a room just special for it. I already know all the dimensions. I want it. Anybody want to guess how much he paid me for it? $7,500. That's the stuff that don't happen to me. That happens to people on Joel Osteen radio or the Dave Mewburn show or something like that. It don't happen to us. I promised you to pray in excess. And I've learned that praying isn't just about me and my family. That praying's about you and that college over there. And this ministry over here, and our move projects, and so on and so forth. And I'm starting to see some of the blessings from me and my family, and I just can't be any more thankful for that. I promised that I was going to love my friends and family in excess. Only they can vouch for that, whether or not I've done that or not. I can tell you this. In my lifetime, I'll argue this with anybody, there is absolutely nobody that's had more fun in my lifetime than me. But the last year and a half is the only time that I've had a real happiness. And I don't mean that to make my mother or my father who are here feel bad. You know, I'm talking about stuff that you fight in your heart. You know when you have a black heart, and you know how it makes you feel, but you don't always know why, but you look for things to try to help that feeling go away. That was drinking, that was partying, that was lust, that was all those things that you know about. And those are gone, and I'm happy. I look at my wife with a total different set of eyes now. I look at my girls and I just think, man, why did I rob them of those years that we could have had? But I also look to God and say, you help me make it right by them from here on out. And I love what he's doing with us. I promise to love and represent my church and congregation in excess. With my actions, with works of God, which has led to the missions, the small groups, athletic ministry, marriage on the rock, and so on and so forth. And I'm just super excited about that, and I hope that I've lived up to that for you guys, because I meant that promise when I said it, and I'm not done with it. I'm going to continue on to represent you guys and try to be the people that you've taught me to try to be. The main reason I was up here was to lead people to Christ in excess. I meant to make this PowerPoint deal because I went over everything. I got out my spreadsheet, and I tallied all the different places I've been and the people that I've reached and the lives that I've brought to Christ. And I don't have a slide, so I'll just have to show it to you. It's a giant zero that I know of. Okay? I don't know of anything. Not one person do I know has come to Christ directly because of me. But what my promise was to engage with young people, missions trips, telling people my story. But if you'll remember right, the number one thing was to live as an example. And I'm trying that as hard as I can every day of my life, and I'm not going to stop it. There is nothing that has me even remotely thinking about changing that. And I try to teach that to my boys on my team every day, right? What do we try to do every day? Glorify God, right? That's it. That's the biggest thing. My daughters, that's it. I have, in my prayers, I have a little excerpt where I say, please let me handle every situation in a way that will glorify God in every way, every day. I start my day with that. I got a pretty good head start on everybody, and I love it. Let me tell you what I've learned. I promise I'm getting close to the end. So God doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we need. Okay? Pastor Dave had a sermon, a six-week deal about, or 5 weeks, about the Holy Spirit. And I had many talks with him about it, and I had talks with my friend Andy and Doug. And, you know, it's a different thing for me. But I knew I wanted it. And I come up to the altar one day specifically to ask for tongues. I want the evidence. I want everybody to know it, you know. So I come up to the altar, and I don't mean to make a mockery of the altar, but I want to kind of go through how that prayer went for me. It's to serve a point. So you don't have to bow your heads. I'm going to bow mine so I can get in character here. But here's how that prayer went. Pastor Dave was stressed the point that we have to ask God for the Holy Spirit, and then we need to invite the Holy Spirit into our heart. So here's how that went. It says, dear God, I love you so much. Please give me the Holy Spirit. Just insert it in my heart. Holy Spirit, I invite you in. I want you. I need you. Please come into me. Nothing happened. Okay? Okay. Nothing happened. This is getting a little awkward. Should I just go back? That'd be like the world's shortest altar deal. No, I won't do that. Anybody else? No? Nobody else is moving yet? Nobody? Let's try it one more time. God, I want the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please come into me. No? Gosh, I don't want to leave. This is embarrassing. Okay, I know what I'll do. God, I thank you for saving me. I don't know why you did it. I didn't deserve it. I don't know why you love me. I don't know why you saved me. I don't know why you saved me. Why'd you save me? Why did you save me? Now someone comes up and they put their hand on my shoulder. And I'm just like, God, why did you save me? I'm so thankful that you thought I was worth it. I'm thankful that you, and now I'm a blubbering idiot, and I'm shaking, and another hand gets on me, and I'm shaking even worse, and I'm about to ruin everybody else's altar call, but I can't help it. I can't stop. I get through it, and I just keep on. Thank you, God, for saving me. I know I didn't deserve it, but thank you, thank you. And I get done, and I get back up, and you guys will remember Fairy Rider talking about tears meeting the snot. I had it. It was flowing. There was nothing I could do about it. He didn't give me the tongues that I wanted, but he gave me exactly what I needed. He gave me a humility that I've never, ever felt in my life. I told my boys one day, God's going to teach me humility, and when he does, I'm going to be awesome at it. Just a joke, right? You guys got it better than they did. I'm sorry, guys. I just had to say. I kind of had to explain it. No. But he really did. He gave me a humbleness that I've never experienced in my life. I'm not a humble guy. Ask my golfing buddies. If I win a dollar, they're going to know about it. I'm just not a humble guy. I never have been. I think it was a false confidence I had to give myself to be able to portray this false enthusiasm and happiness that I had to do because I knew my heart was black and I knew I was hurting. But I didn't want nobody else to know that. So I've never been a humble guy. A new dedication and enthusiasm. I had things that I wanted to do, but I couldn't do them. I wouldn't do them. I was still doing a pretty good job in my mind. And I think most people would have looked at me and said, he's doing all right. He's doing good. But I had stuff I wanted to do that God was putting on me, and I wouldn't do it because I have to be at work at 10. I'd get up at 9:30 and go. For this AMP thing to work, and for this RSU athletic ministry that I'm trying to do at the exact same time that God put on me also, I need more time, God. Where is it? It's 9:30. We'll get up early. Okay. So he's giving me a new enthusiasm. I can do things that I didn't do. I multitask. I can multitask now. God's given me these things that are awesome. But it gave me a new dedication, enthusiasm, a new eagerness, and it's exactly what I needed to get AMP started rolling in a week and a half and the ministry over there at the college. God doesn't want you perfect. He wants you now. He wants you now. He doesn't want you to wait. Romans 5:8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. See those big words? Still sinners. If he hadn't looked to me when I was still sinning, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have any opportunity. Still sinners. His grace is a gift that cannot be earned. You've heard that 1,000 times. It can't be earned. He wants to just give it to you for absolutely nothing that you do to deserve it. So don't wait till you deserve. Don't wait till you can live up to expectations. God wants to help you, and you'll never live up to those expectations anyway. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand when you are tempted. He will show you a way out so that you can endure. He's going to help you with all. That's his promise right there. Give me your heart right now, just exactly like you are, and let me take care of those things for you. Let God take care of those things for you. And if you need living proof, stare at it. Because I was a mess. I had it all on that day. And I asked that day for it to be gone. And he did it for me. And I didn't deserve it. I promise you I didn't deserve it. Ask for it. Go get it. Don't wait till you stop drinking, till you stop cursing, till you stop cheating, till you stop lying. Don't wait. Doesn't matter. He wants you just like you are. And I'm just going to tell you, it's awesome when he gets a hold. 2 Timothy 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. For me, I believe those are probably the three things that we need. Power to get through things. Power and courage are the same. Give us power so that we can handle it. We can get through it. We can do it. Love. Man, if we can love people, we're so far ahead. And I've never been able to love like I love now. I still got work to do. I honestly get so hooked up doing all this other stuff. I don't love my mama right there like I ought to, but I'm going to get better at it. Because I'm asking God on a daily basis. My dad and I, that's my brother right there. He knows the worst of me, trust me. My dad there, you know, we used to have a monthly dinner. Me and my brothers would go over there monthly for dinner, and when we haven't been doing that, and that's changing. That's changing. I got more hours in my day, and I can multitask, remember? So that's changing. But if we can love, we've got a chance. Self-discipline. Man, this is the deal. I'm telling you, I considered myself one of the strongest people there was whenever it comes to self-discipline for the stuff I wanted, for the stuff that was important to me. But self-discipline for the things that you think aren't maybe hurting other people or affecting them, or the stuff that is affecting them, but it's more fun for you. I didn't have self-discipline in that stuff. When I had to play baseball and get up at 5 to run, yeah. But if I had to stop drinking so I could go home with my family like a respectable man would do, I didn't have self-discipline. But that's one of the things that God will give you in a hurry. God will give you that the moment you ask. And He'll constantly remind you throughout the day, hey, this ain't what you want to do. I need that, God. I need that. Love. Power, love, and self-discipline. Those are going to be three words I'm going to carry around with me here for a while. Just constantly remind me of why God did take the time to save me. Listen, I love you guys. I can't thank you enough for what you've done. Keep doing and being the influence that you are. Let me say a quick prayer with you guys. And then I'll turn it back over to Pastor Dave. And then we can go rock on over to him. Yeah! Come on, G-Man. Yeah! Where you at, G-Man? Come on. One yah-yah. Yah-yah! Yeah, that's right. I knew he'd do it. All right, let's pray. God, I love you so much. And I just thank you for all that you've done in my life, what you've done in my family's life. God, I thank you for the people that you've inserted into my life. The Doug Condors, the Andy Wareheims, the Lelands and Bill, Mr. Bills and Mrs. Bills, Pastor Dave's, Pastor Owens. God, I just can't thank you enough for those people. And allow me to grow to be like them. Allow this church to continue to welcome people that maybe in others' eyes don't deserve that welcoming. Just allow me to do everything in a way that will glorify your name, and I know that will always lead to the right way. God, bless all these people as they go home, give them a safe travels, and just continue to protect them with your love and adoration, and I know that they'll give that back to you. I love you so much. I believe in you. I expect all these things. It's in your precious and holy name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jeff. We're going to be dismissed in just a second. Let me tell you, God doesn't give us great stories like that just to hear about them and clap for them and cheer Jeff on. He gives them to us so that we can have a story as well. Jeff will tell you just as quick as anybody else that you know, anything that he has said, even though it was all about him, is certainly not about the glory that faces in him. But he wouldn't have said these things if it wasn't God literally saying, I want that for you too. I want that for you too. I didn't know that Jeff and Kim had any problems whatsoever. I just saw them as a cool couple. Nothing. Didn't know anything. We don't know someone's story, but God knows all of our stories. We looked into a couple of pages and a couple of chapters into Jeff's life, but God looks into your life too. It would be absolutely a discredit to Jeff's story, but also a discredit to what God wants to do in you if before you left tonight, you didn't have the opportunity to say, God, make that my story too. Not a duplication of Jeff's. This isn't about admiring him to the point to where you mimic that. It's about that freedom that you want so desperately for your life too. The thing that you want in your marriage, the influence you want to be in other people. Listen, we don't all have a personality like him. We aren't made to like. This isn't about matching, you know, being outgoing like somebody else, having that history or whatever. But it is about going forward in the place that God wants us to. And this isn't about lengthening the service. It's about giving you that opportunity. Because God wants you to know that the same thing he did in Jeff, he's already done it for you as well. And he wants that freedom. And you do too, don't you? There's just that little part of that. I admire that Jeff gets to work with these young men because he sees that there's a great future. But God forbid that he just be a great coach and help them swing better, bat better, run better, catch better, and win more ball games when their future is just going to be fizzled to nothing. That's what it's all about. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. It's a bold thing, but we're going to do it the same way that Jeff did it. I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads, and you're going to pray your prayer. But can I have the privilege of just one person just asking you that regardless of what the prayer is, regardless of what the need is, but tonight you'd say, Pastor Dave, I want God to do something significant in my life. Whether it's giving him your heart and your life for the first time ever like Jeff did last year. Whether it's a circumstance that you know you need to overcome, a habit that you know is just not getting you where you ought to be, a lifestyle that just does not fit with your church attendance, or you even being in church in the first place, a future that you don't know whether it's even going to be there or not. You have this desire to connect with people, but you just can't break out. On and on and on, the list could go. But tonight I'm going to tell you, God wants to give you freedom and put you on a road so that you can tell a story in a year from now that matches like Jeff's. We all have to start somewhere. I started in the middle of my senior year in high school. I didn't grow up in this stuff. But man, I am so glad for that first initial encounter with a man named Jesus Christ. I knew who he was because there was a statue of him in my mom's church, but that's all I knew. Will you bow your heads with me? If that's your desire tonight, I just want to ask you to just stick your hand up and put it right back down. I think God needs to understand that he loves you that much. There's two. I'm not into counting, but at the same time, we did it this morning. There's another one. Somebody else. Hey, Pastor, I just agree with what's God's doing in Jeff's life. I want him to do it in my life. I want to be that person. I can't be Jeff, but in my context of who I am, I know God wants to do more. There's one more. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. There's another. Anyone else? Real quick. Real quick. You know, isn't cool we expect things like this in church, but we didn't expect it to be this comfortable. Usually it's a pastor beating you over the head with how horrible you are, and this is a loving God who's come in here to tell you how much he loves you. Big difference. Big difference. Jeff has already prayed. If you don't mind, I just want to pray this prayer for you very quickly. Father, you've seen the hands. You know on their hearts. You know what they want to do. We're all motivated by a someone's life that's been transformed. Tonight it was Jeff's story. Tomorrow it may be somebody else's story. People come into our life and they make a huge contribution. Father, we want to make a contribution too. But it was you pouring your life into Jeff that made this possible. Father, can you do that in us? Absolutely. We know he can. All we have to do is just trust him for it. So, Father, I pray for everyone that raised their hand and everyone who desires to live this life, a life that is a constant reminder of what Christ has done in us. I pray that you'll grant that to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.